The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles. In your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles there.
Settles.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good. And the Hat Man, Travis, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Good morning, guys.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to go. No red button to hit today, so watch out.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we found out that the red button
doesn't work today. Has it always never not worked, or is it just today?
I guess it's been off and on for like the past 6-8 months.
Oh,
I guess.
Sweet. Okay.
Cool. So every other word.
Every other word.
I have been hitting it. But this been
you know, working. when we do our podcast, we're able to use colorful metaphors.
Oh, see, luckies.
Or just curse words in general.
Yeah.
Hold on the phone.
Sometimes they fit. Phone's ringing already.
A lot of times they do when you're talking about the state of California. I mean, and I'm not talking about the state. I'm talking the state of California. The state in which it is in right now.
Right. Oh, man.
And has been. And will continue to be. But it'll be better once we get Jefferson. Guess what? California can do whatever it wants. Jefferson will do what needs to be doing.
The Whisperer. Jefferson.
Anyway, we're broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com, and we will be archived and podcasted. And we already have Mark Baird on the phone. How are you, brother? Are you there, Mark?
Yep, I'm here.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're doing okay. I heard something, and I kind of wanted to start the program this way. We're going to be talking, folks, about the Second Amendment and talking about different laws, gun laws, things like that. And there's probably two people that I believe are the experts on this, or maybe experts too much of a word, but people who are very knowledgeable on these two subjects, extremely knowledgeable. That's Mark Baird and Patrick Jones. Mark, on a radio program yesterday, there was someone who called in. We have a new sheriff, our third one, in one term. And apparently he's been trying to get a CCW renewal. And it's taken him 4 months in Shasta County. Now, that's what he said on the radio yesterday. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And also there are people that actually believe that if a sheriff issues concealed carry permits, that he is a quote, if there is such a thing, constitutional sheriff, or shouldn't they all be constitutional to take an oath to it, and that this particular sheriff believes in the Second Amendment. So I want to just throw those two things out to you and let you roll.
Okay. So who was this was an ordinary citizen?
Yes, sir.
Applied for a CCW?
A renewal.
4 months?
Renewal.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think when I applied for a CCW so many years ago, I can't even remember when it was, it took 6 months for them to get through the background check.
Wow.
So if that's, yeah, and then also there are jurisdictions in California, like Santa Clara County and Los Angeles County under the previous sheriff, where you could only get a CCW if you made a very generous, I mean, in excess in the thousands of dollars worth of political campaign contributions. There are jurisdictions in California where you can't get a CCW at all. They just don't issue them, and they'll tell you that the need for self-defense doesn't apply to a CCW, and it's not sufficient cause to get one. So, you know, 4 months, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, just to make that clear, it was a renewal, not an initial application. It was a renewal.
Yeah, still doesn't surprise me. They'll blame it on the Wuhan.
Sure.
The Wuhan wriggle Yeah. They'll blame it on not having enough staff. They'll blame it on, you know, whatever they want to. But the fact of the matter is, it is, to me, unconscionable that the state of California has turned the Second Amendment, which is a right of the people, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In other words, you have a right to that. A right is not a permission, and a permission does not constitute a right. So the state of California has turned one of the enumerated rights into a permission. You don't have to apply for a permit and wait 4 months to speak freely. You don't have to apply for a permit and wait 6 months to go worship. You don't have to write for a permit and ask the government's permission not to have people search your stuff without a warrant. You don't have to ask for a permit and wait 6 months for a public and speedy trial. You know, you have the basic inalienable rights codified in the Bill of Rights, but yet the Second Amendment's the only one that's been turned into a permission.
Yeah, you know, and the sheriff's coming out, oh, man, I'm a Second Amendment guy. You bet I believe in the Second Amendment. You know, I can prove it to you. I may give you a permit to carry your weapon, which is your right.
Well, I may give you a permit if you don't make me mad, if you don't
that's right.
Say things that I don't approve of, if you don't, you know, if you jump through these hoops, if you pay me the money, if you don't make me angry personally, if you don't have a reputation as being a political rabble-rouser, if, I might give you a permit. Yeah, I believe in the Second Amendment. Well, there's no belief. Government's an inanimate object. The Second Amendment stands above government's table. What is there for any public servant to believe in when it comes to the enumerated rights?
Yeah, you're so right about that. And I know that we've talked about this before, but, you know, the term constitutional sheriff, and I mean there are sheriffs who follow the Constitution in different counties across the United States, but there is, I don't believe that there's any sheriff in the state of California that actually takes his oath of office seriously, especially when it comes to the Second Amendment. What say you?
Well, I know there aren't, because that went in California, and starting in 1968, and the last nail went in the box in 2013, we have no Second Amendment in California anymore. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that concealed carry is not a right, it's a permission that can be regulated, it can be taxed, it can be given, it can be denied, so that to allow people to open carry is within the purview and jurisdiction of sheriffs and police chiefs, according to the Ninth Circuit, and 26150 and 155 outlines the criteria under which California has given the authority to sheriffs and police chiefs to decide who may carry and conversely who may not carry in the cities and counties of California. So they're just obeying the legislature of California. There is no Second Amendment here.
Yeah, you know, and I'm tired of the sheriffs being posers. I mean, they pose as being, gee, I'm a Second Amendment guy. Oh, yeah, he's a really good Second Amendment sheriff. Yeah, he's a good guy. I got my CCW. You know, and I know that there is a 26150B2, which is an open carry permit, that should be allowed, or should be allowed. Here I, gosh, I should bite my tongue, that sheriffs can issue in the state of California in any county under 200,000. But you have thoughts on that.
Well, once again, the legislature outlined and it was codified in penal code under 26150 for counties and 26155 for incorporated cities, the criteria under which they gave sheriffs and police chiefs the authority to decide who may carry in the state of California and conversely who may not carry in the state of California. And oddly enough, the Department of Justice decided to usurp legislative authority, and they just never produced an application for an open carry permit. Most sheriffs don't even know there is such a thing because they don't read the Constitution and they don't read their own penal code. So they don't know the rules that even govern this by and large. And no sheriff has ever issued one of those. There's no application. There's no way to apply for it. And California Penal Code also says that any time someone applies for a permit, that permit must be immediately transferred with the money, by the way, mm-hmm. to the Department of Justice, and no such transfer has ever taken place. So, you know, I mean, this is kind of a circular discussion in the sense that, first of all, California has changed the Constitution of the United States and turned enumerated rights into permissions. And then the employees of the state, the employees of the Department of Justice, and that's where sheriffs fall in California, they're under the supervisory control of the state's attorney general. They adhere to the regulations that as they see them, and that's kind of human nature. You know, you adhere to a regulation as you see it. And so the people of the state of California have no Second Amendment, and we haven't had since 1968.
Yeah, you know, the thing that really throws me, too, is that, you know, as we look around, people even, gosh, I mean, people are not understanding what's going on here and how important the Second Amendment is and how very...
Well, let's take this even one step further.
Sure.
Why was open carry... denied the people of the state of California in 1968. It was done so in order to disarm urban black people because it was a demonstration by the Black Panthers, and I have my opinion about the Black Panthers just like everybody else did. They were revolutionary communists or whatever, but the fact of the matter was they were demonstrating legally in the Capitol building. Legally armed, no one was hurt, no one was threatened. It was kind of a stupid deal, really, and they caused themselves more trouble than they got any good out of it. And through a mistake by a legislative aide, they were asking to go to the gallery, and he accidentally sent them onto the Senate floor, and all of the senators were scared to death because these guys had guns. And so in order to strip Black American Californians of their right to a Second Amendment guarantees, they took everybody's right away. So it was done, this was racially motivated in 1968 in order to strip a minority of a Second Amendment guarantee, but in order to do it, they had to take it away from everybody.
And whose idea was that?
Well, it was Don Mulford and Ronald Reagan, that champion of liberty, Ronald Reagan, who stood for the liberty of all Americans. And we can lose our liberty in one generation if we're not careful in all the famous speeches that he made. But he didn't believe any of his own BS because he took the Second Amendment away from Californians by signing Don Mulford's bill, the Mulford Act. And the NRA helped write it.
Wow. You know, the fellow who called into the program that I was referring to at the beginning of our program also made mention that when he finally got through to the sheriff's department and they finally talked to him, he said, well, you know, I've been waiting like 4 months for this thing, you know, and he wanted to add another gun. He had three on there. He wanted to add another gun to his concealed carry permit. And he said, well, I'm just going to carry my gun anyway. I'm just going to carry it anyway without the renewal. And the gal said, you better not. That's against the law. I mean, unbelievable. This is from our new constitutional sheriff. Now, I don't know whether he even knows about this, but I know that personally I put in three calls to him and haven't gotten a response back just to bring him on the radio program here or just to ask him a couple of questions. And frankly, Brenda Haynes had mentioned to me that, hey, you know, maybe you could sit down with the sheriff, you could talk a little bit about the Constitution, talk a little bit about some of this stuff, and if there are concerns, you know, bring them up to him, because he's the guy who's willing to listen. Well, so far, Sheriff Johnson, are you willing to listen yet? Are you willing to even sit down and have a chat, number one, about these things we're talking about now, about concealed carry, about the open carry permits that you can allow, again, that word, I want to bite my tongue. But really and truly, are you really a Second Amendment guy? Because if you are, you need to follow the Constitution to the letter.
Well, you know, yeah, and those arguments are easy to make because they're true, and they're as obvious as the nose on your face. But here's the problem that we face, number one, because of the political structure in the state of California. The sheriff, you know, in other words, if he values the number of deputies he has and the number of cars and radios and the number of pensions he can pay, he got to be a little bit careful because, number one, he's not an entity unto himself, and number two, he works at the pleasure of the Board of Supervisors because they can strip him of his budget anytime they don't like what he's doing. So this guy's got loyalties that are probably divided among 500 different places. And another thing is, we cannot expect one elected official to carry all the water. It's unrealistic, for one. It won't happen, for two. And number three, it's selfish. Because what we are as citizens is we are arbiters of our own fate. We are the guardians of our own liberty. The government has no duty and no responsibility to protect you from anything, including tyranny. That's your responsibility. That's our collective responsibility as the people who formed the government to serve us. And so what's happened in the state of California is we've abdicated that responsibility, and government officials serve themselves and serve each other, and we woke up in this dystopian, weirdo, bizarro universe called the state of California, where the governor signs into law that retailers, if they sell toys, have to have a gender-neutral toy aisle, and you're paying $2 more a gallon than everybody else in the country for gasoline, with an open southern border where they spend $30 billion a year on people who broke the law to come here, and you're surprised that you're deprived of your rights. I have to say, folks, you need to walk in the bathroom and look in the mirror and have a very close self-examination of the fact that we've failed as the guardians of our own liberty.
I guess I'm just tired of the liars. I'm tired of somebody lying, saying, oh, I support the Second Amendment, liar. I'm totally behind the Second Amendment. I'm a Second Amendment sheriff. I'm a Second Amendment guy, liar. I'm looking at a flag behind me that hangs here in KCNR studio. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, this is hanging on a wall where I know we've had discussions with this particular radio host about the Second Amendment. He's for CCWs. And how can you have this hanging in your... How can you have a flag like this hanging in an office when you're for something that restricts the people and restricts a right? That's just hard for me. And it's all getting a little bit hard in that regard. And I think there's more and more and more of us that are standing and saying, you know, we just will not and shall not comply. We just won't.
Well, what about these sheriffs say they honor the Constitution. Okay, if they honor the Constitution or are actually constitutional sheriffs, then why are they not fighting for open carry without permits? No permits required, just open carry. Why are they not doing that? Don't we have a Sheriff's Association of California? Don't we have a Sheriff's Association of Northern California Sheriffs, the rural sheriffs? I mean, you name it, they've got an association for everything. So why are these sheriffs not stepping up to the plate, saying they're going to honor the Constitution that they are sworn to defend, which the federal Constitution trumps the California Constitution? We know that. It does. It says that in the California Constitution. It is the supreme law of the land, denoting the federal Constitution. So why do they not step up and just do that? And many of these sheriffs are former military. They took an oath for that as well. So they've taken the oath multiple times. Why are they not manning up, stepping up, being the patriots that they claim to be, that the rest of us are fighting for? Hell, they're protected more than we are all the way around. Why are they not stepping up and making this happen? Are they fearful of the political fallout? Maybe they might have a hell of a lot more support than they realize if they did something like this. That's the part where I'm absolutely frustrated. They're forcing us to go after this and for us to do their damn jobs. We need to step up. We want them to step up. We've either elected or allowed the Board of Supervisors to appoint, in our case here in Shasta County for the third time. It's going to perpetuate. So we need to get these sheriffs who are supposed to be duly elected to step up, and if they say they're constitutional, then they follow the federal Constitution, which trumps the California Constitution, for 2A. Why are they not doing that?
Well, I'm going to kind of take a step back here just for about 1 second. And while I fundamentally agree with everything you said, Wynn, I do. Why aren't they? Those are all good questions. But, you know, now I want to just back up for a second and set the stage for something that people are not going to like, but it's still the truth. You know, when you're training a dog or a horse or anything else, or your children, Well, how do you do that? And here's how I believe it's best done, and how it's always worked for me, is you make it easy for the person or critter you're trying to train to do the right thing, and you make it difficult for them to do the wrong thing.
That's right.
Well, here, what's happened is we've abdicated our liberty, because for 250 years before California was a state, while California was under Mexican control, and during the entirety of the time that California was a state, open carry was unregulated, absolutely unregulated, unremarkable. Everyone did it. No one cared. No one said anything about it. The gutters were not running red with blood. There were policemen, there were soldiers and army people all over the state of California. There have been since 1848. We have police stations. We have sheriffs. We've had them since the Constitution and since 1850. We've had all that stuff. People open carried. No one cared. There is a volume of evidence to prove that. And not until 1968 were we stripped of our liberty. And when we were stripped of that liberty, it was done without a whimper. And so now, no one said a word. No one stood up to it. No one sued over it. No one did anything. And then in 2012, this little simpering coward, Anthony Portantino, said, oh, you don't need a cheeseburger to go buy a gun. And so he passed a law with all of his Democratic buddies and stripped us of what remained of our constitutional guarantee to carry unloaded weapons with a magazine in your other pocket or whatever. And no one said a word, and no one sued, and no one did anything about it. And now what we're saying is, well, Sheriff, instead of the people of the state of California making the job easy for you to do the right thing, we have allowed our liberty to escape us, and now we expect you, as an elected official, to restore that liberty.
Well, you know, a lot of the sheriffs in the northern counties, especially here, our sheriffs just dived into the illegal grows of marijuana. And I certainly respect that. I'm glad he's doing it. I support him in doing it. However, it seems to be the end all. It seems to be the thing he's focused on. And I think a lot of, and I mean, at that point, you even question, well, really, how hard are they really working at that? And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, we have a district attorney. And this doesn't really change the subject, just adds to more of the people that we elect, how they don't uphold what they're doing. We have a district attorney who went on Fox News and said, oh, yeah, we're going after PG&E, we're going after them criminally. Then she gets on the radio on this station and basically makes the comment, well, we really don't have any money to do it, because I asked her about that. Who's paying for all this? I mean, well, we really don't have that yet. We're, you know, well, you know, if you don't have the money, yet you go on and beat your chest, is that just a deflection from some things that you're doing we don't want you to see, like spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on Carlos Zapata and Nathan Pinckney when you have a situation to where that is a low level infraction that actually that was about?
Well, I mean, look, do you think the political system we have allowed to occur on our watch is fair? I mean, if you do, grow up, you know, go get another cup of coffee and wake up a little bit, because it's not. But we allowed this as people. And there's only one way to fix this. And, you know, although, I mean, I like our sheriff. I know him personally. I think he's a fine young man. He's doing the job that he, as he sees it and as he understands it to be. Am I disappointed that he doesn't allow open carry permits to be issued? Well, number one, I shouldn't need a permit to carry openly. That's my right.
That's right.
Am I disappointed that he is one of 58 sheriffs who also don't allow it? I mean, come on, guys. You know, that's the reality that we have allowed. And we, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, we do, in order to preserve and protect that freedom, we established a constitution. And we, the people, have allowed the people who we elect to serve us to depart from that path and depart from the federal constitution and depart from the Bill of Rights, our inalienable God-given rights. We have allowed them to depart from those things without consequence, seemingly. We have allowed corruption in our government because we don't pay attention and we don't stand up to it. And now we're mad because life ain't so good here anymore.
Well, I want to. We're going to have to go to our break, Mark. But I want you to hold that thought because I was writing down a few questions I have about what you just said, and this is a. I think we're getting down to the bone here, and I think that this is great because I think that you've just brought some things to light that we'll talk about after the break. But we got to take that, so stay with us, my good friend. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The crime race through the roof. Gun control is on the rise. We make our ends meet. Take what we need to survive. A shot, one kill is such a thrill. That's the way that I was raised. When I pick up a gun, I hit right where I aim. It's time to take a stand. It's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine.
Turtle Bay's fall plant sale has been extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nursery is open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Brought to such humiliating and debasing degradation that we cannot be trusted with arms for our defense.
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't, you'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away. You think today's your lucky day? Better think it through before it's too late. Listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away.
Yeah, don't even try it. You'll get lead first.
We're on here with Mark Baird. By the way, if you have a question or a comment for Mark, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Mark, you were saying that we allow it. Well, you know, Carlos Zapata didn't allow the injustice. He had to go to court. He paid his attorney thousands of dollars. District attorney still was pushing this forward, even though the Reading Police Department had written a report that showed that Nathan Pinckney was the aggressor. And, you know, all this stuff goes on. Dolores Lucero, she tried to fight back. They spent thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars on that court case politically. Okay, so I agree with you. Maybe we've let this go in the past. We're standing up and fighting now, but when you have corrupt people in office, how do you get them out? I mean, how do you get them out? What, you sue them? I mean, how do you get them out? Or, I mean, you used to be able to tar and feather
them. You got to make your case. I mean, you know, in other words, now we're at the point in time that Winston Churchill talked about. If you won't fight when it's easy and victory is assured, you'll be forced to fight when maybe victory is in doubt or perhaps there is no victory. Or if you wait a moment longer, you will fight when there is no victory at all and you're simply fighting to decide whether you die a free man or die a slave. I mean, so, you know, this happened. This has been going on for a long time. I think somebody was talking the other night on the podcast about the frog in boiling water, and that's how we are. And I'm not saying that individuals aren't fighting. What I'm saying is we, the people collectively who formed this government to protect our liberty, didn't fight when we should have fought, and now it's an uphill battle where people like Carlos and the other people you're talking about, you know, you fight these uphill battles against this evil and corruption and a government that turned its back on God, and guess what happens? Godless stuff and evil prevails in government, and corruption and theft and lying and sometimes even murder.
Well, we had
I was just reading an article this morning about how Nancy Pelosi made $375 million off of Congress pay through really fortuitous and timely stock picks. Wow. After bills were introduced in Congress or just before bills were introduced in Congress. And, oh, my goodness, how about, well, we were just lucky. I mean, so we the people have put ourselves in this position, and I'm speaking collectively, not individually. Certainly we've had true patriots and people who have fought and given everything until they're broke and miserable, and the only thing for them to do is leave.
We are on
That's where we are right now.
Right,
now,
well,
Here's the open question.
Okay.
What do we do about it?
Right.
And
okay.
The answer is, and in my opinion, the only answer is we have to get away from the main body of the evil so that we, the people, have some opportunity and some chance of correcting what we've done to ourselves. And the only way, in my opinion, to do that is form a state based on liberty, the state of Jefferson, with adequate representation to where these cockroaches can't hide in plain sight anymore.
And that is the only answer. And another thing, too, as I mentioned earlier in the program, we're on our third sheriff in one elected term, our third sheriff. Our sheriff that recently resigned, Eric Magrini, and, okay, so here's something else, too, okay? The Sheriff's Administration Association and the Deputy Sheriff's Administration Association
for Shasta County.
For Shasta County sided with the people and said, we need to get rid of this guy. His response was, F him.
Yep.
That's right, F him. They can't do anything to us, to me anyway. And then the Board of Supervisors appoints him, gives him a new job after he's been completely disgraced, gives him a brand new job at a 30% raise.
Didn't they support the CEO's option of doing that? That's what they did.
I've heard different stories about that one.
Well,
I think that maybe he got hired, twisted.
Wasn't he hired under the CEO's department? So if he is, then that would be the person who was in charge of that and maybe had the support of the Board of Supervisors.
There you go. But or it could have been somebody twisting his arm.
Because he's HR now. He's under HR. He's under personnel. He's not under being an duly elected sheriff or appointed sheriff. He is a staff member now.
Okay, and we'll get back to that in a second. But I want to finish out this thought, and that is that basically, the sheriffs and the administration office and the sheriff's administration was willing to get rid of this guy. The Deputy Sheriff's Association was willing to get rid of this guy, showing corruption. And when you're right, Pontes is the one who hired him. However, I think there was some arm twisting. I mean, the DA went after Carlos Zapata. You don't think there's arm twisting there? to spend $1 million, almost $1 million on a low level misdemeanor or an infraction. So Mark, I guess the thing is that at this high level of construction, obstruction and corruption, you know, you're right about the state. Absolutely. In the interim, where do you think we fight, my good friend?
Well, I mean, you have to show up. You have to have thousands and thousands and thousands of people demonstrate their displeasure with the government they form to serve them and the one that's stealing all their money. Because, you know, you're talking about these 30% raises over, and this guy hiring that guy and that guy hiring that guy, and the DA spending $1 million on what amounts to an infraction. A 415 sub 3 is an infraction. It could be a misdemeanor, but typically it isn't, unless it rises to the, a level that is far beyond what this case sounds like to me. But, you know, in other words, you have people who are the bulk of the people in the city of Redding or in Shasta County, and unless they're mad about their money being stolen, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah, well, so
vast majority of people have got to stop this, and they've got to stop it by showing up. And, hey, you know, it might be time to whip out the old holster with the Constitution in it again.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. But when you look at the district attorney's office, you know, again, and when we were talking about the thing with PG&E and stuff, not only did she not have any money for it, but she came up with basically the conclusion that the people of Shasta County would have to pay for that, number one. And number two, that she didn't even have a prosecutor for it yet.
So is she laying the groundwork for more taxes on us?
What she's laying the groundwork for is to try to cover herself, I think, on something. That's my opinion. I think she's trying to cover something.
And that could be, too.
Because, with
deflection. I would start a letter-writing campaign, and I, you know, and admittedly, because these outfits are seemingly corrupt as well under Creepy Joe's administration, but I would start a letter-writing campaign to the United States the United States Attorney for California's Eastern District and the FBI about corruption and collusion and malfeasance and misspent money. And I would also start a campaign in the Board of Supervisors office for a forensic audit of every department in that county.
Yeah, I talked to somebody yesterday who may be interested in running for supervisor, and talked to that particular person who's all for the forensic audit. But I want to bring this up to folks, too.
Wait, hold on a second. Mark, you just said something very quickly, and I want to grasp on that, too. You said the California Eastern District U.S. Attorney's Office. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of California. And that's under Redding falls under that. And the U.S. attorney has the ability to federally intervene. And in other words, if there is corruption in a California government that California is not willing to take care of, then you can call the United States Department of Justice in through the United States attorney for this area. And now I got to say, you know, the monoparty, the Democratic monoparty has weaponized the Department of Justice. The Democratic monoparty has weaponized California government against the people. I don't know how far you'll get, but you never know. There might be an honest guy in that chair right now.
Okay, thank you.
This Monday night at 5:30 out at in the Turtle Bay area out at the auditorium, the Civic Auditorium, there is going to be in the amphitheater a rally, and
that's the next to the river,
right next to the river. That amphitheater there next to the river. If any of you went to the Kevin Kiley event, that's the same place. We want to encourage people to go out there at 5:30 on Monday night. Stand because as Mark's saying, and he's so right, we've got to start standing together, and we should go to the Eastern District. We need to put that out there. Now, here's the next thing, folks. If Wynn and I are arrested for I don't know what by the district attorney because we're speaking out, we want everybody to know that we're just citizens. We pay for this radio program. We pay tens of thousands of dollars to be on this radio. We pay money to do it. We aren't asked to do it. We are not celebrities. We are individual citizens, purely private citizens. We don't belong to any particular organizations. We just are citizens that are voicing our God-given, constitutionally protected rights. So I'm telling you right now, Stephanie, and I'm telling you right now, Board of Supervisors, I'm telling you right now, you come after us as individual citizens, and believe me, we will sue you until your grandkids pay. Because I am sick and tired of this bull. I know you don't have the button.
Bull stuff.
You notice I stopped. That's because I'm not on a podcast. By the way, folks, we are podcasting tomorrow morning at 9:30. It's archive and podcasted. What you do is you use your search engine, go to state, Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E podcast, Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E podcast on YouTube. You'll be able to find us. You can find us on Mountaintop Media. You can go to Facebook and you can search Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. We have two different pages there, one for our podcast that we do with Mountaintop Media and one on the podcast we do for this radio program. But I don't know about you guys. You've got to be sick and tired of this. Come Monday night to the auditorium. Come Monday night to the amphitheater next to the river. Monday night, 5:30.
Hey, Terry, let me make a suggestion to the people listening. We did this here in Siskiyou County, and it kind of worked for us, and maybe it's time to resurrect this campaign. Let's see how many people genuinely support this effort. Go down to the sporting goods store, Patrick's store, wherever, and pick yourself up a $3 belt holster and start wearing that every time you go somewhere where public officials are present, every time you go to a rally, every time you go to an event, every time you go to a city council meeting, every time you go to a board of supervisors meeting, wear that holster and stick your pocket constitution in it. Now, the pocket constitution I'm talking about is a little bitty, like, magazine-looking thing, and that constitution is around 7,000 words. It's not very thick. It's really easy to read. And, in fact, you may want to read that a few times before you stick it in your holster, because if you don't know the rules, how do you expect the people who rule over you to know what the rules are? And then stick that constitution in your holster and wear it outside your belt and outside your clothes for all the world to see. And by implication, we wore the pocket constitution in our holsters openly and exposed all over California. And here's the implication, that little bitty tiny magazine could at any time be replaced with a much bigger magazine, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Fully loaded.
That's amazing. I know that we did that out in front of the Robert Matsui Courthouse during one of the Second Amendment hearings. And yeah, Mark, you're absolutely right. That's a great idea. I think that maybe we should, folks, if you're listening to this, share that idea. Let's all go get some holsters, just get yourself a $3 holster or whatever, put it on your belt, and put that pocket constitution in there. They run, I don't know, you can find it for like 50 cents. And the deal is that we have to start understanding that. I know I had a talk with a friend that said, I really don't know everything in the Constitution, and but I know what I feel. I know what I see. Well, you better start knowing the Constitution. I'm sorry. You've got to start knowing at least the basic rights. You've got to start at least know the five rights that you have in the First Amendment. But something to where you have to stand. You have to stand. And without any knowledge, how in the world do you stand? With emotion?
I think it was Chris Hall that said originally, if you can't define liberty, how can you defend it? And if you can't define tyranny, how can you get rid of it?
That's right.
Well put.
Well, and I have a question, too, going back to truly gun control of sovereign citizens. So with the issue going on here in Shasta County, Carlos's gun rights were removed. He had to surrender his guns. So did he not get those back?
I don't know if he had to surrender his guns or not.
That was part of the maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but my understanding, according to a couple of the posts that were out there, everything's you can hear and see all kinds of stuff, but if his gun rights were removed during this course of this jury trial, when do they get restored? And then if his were removed, why weren't Nathan Pinckney's removed? He's the one that actually went after his gun.
I can tell you why, because whenever those restraining orders are filed, and by the way, folks, be careful of those. They are extremely dangerous to your liberty and to your future. Whenever those restraining orders are filed, if you are served, you are required by California law, not constitutional law, to surrender your firearms either to the police or you can park them at a legitimate FFL who will agree to take them for you until the restraining order is lifted. Once the restraining order is lifted, then you get your guns back, except in certain circumstances, which is not the case here. And so that's how those things go. The fact that there is no battery conviction, there is no impediment to Second Amendment guarantees under a 415 sub 3. So, you know, in theory, if this restraining order has been lifted, then your rights are restored and away you go. But once again, your liberty is at the whim and will of officials who may hate you for standing for liberty in the first place. Is that really how you want your life to go?
Well, yeah, the thing is, you're right about all that.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got a corrupt, basically partly corrupt, in people's opinions, supervisors. You have, in people's opinion, corrupt district attorney's office. You have corrupt, in some other people's opinions, the sheriffs that we have. Okay, and not only that, but if you get, if there is a temporary restraining order that's issued, like you said, they can take away your firearms. I mean, you know, at what point, and I'm gonna just throw this out there and have you think about this a minute, because we do have Jimmy on the line. Let Jimmy on, will you? Thank you, brother. But anyway, the thing is that at what point do we, you know, at what point do we, I don't know, where do we go? Jimmy, what say you, my friend?
Hey, I just got a quick comment for you guys. I remember our previous sheriff said he wouldn't issue open carry permits because it would intimidate his officers. Well, we went, we drove a couple months ago down the length of Nevada and Tucson, Arizona. I wore my sidearm exposed in a bunch of public places. Nobody blinked an eye. It wasn't intimidating for anybody. And in Nevada, we found a bunch of fireworks off to the side of the road that looked like bundles of dynamite. And I called the sheriff to come out there to check it out. It turned out to be commercial-grade fireworks. But when the sheriff pulled up, I said, Sheriff, I have an exposed firearm on my console. And you know what he said? He looked at me and said, good for you. God bless you, son. That's the God's honest truth.
Yeah, I believe you. I mean, we live in California. Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy. You're awesome.
Yes,
good hearing from you, brother. So, Mark, you heard that. What say you?
No, I heard about the last 10 words he said. I didn't hear any of the beginning.
In essence, he was in Nevada, I believe it was, and he was he reported
open carry.
He was open carrying. He had the gun on his dashboard and or on his seat. I don't remember
console,
which
yeah.
console. And when he was talking to a sheriff deputy about something there that he had discovered that looked like it was dynamite, but it ended up being just a firework, but it was a higher grade firework that I guess is legal there. And he did mention to the deputy that he had I do have a gun on my console. And he said, well, God bless you, son. Good for you. Talk to you later. Now, then let's compare that with the phone call that this gentleman made that we talked about at the beginning of the program to the Sheriff's Department here in Shasta County about, hey, it's been 4 months on my renewal. I mean, obviously, it's a renewal. And, we're doing the best we can. We don't have enough people, blah, 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 blah. And not only that, you'll just have to wait. Well, wait, I'm going to carry it anyway. I mean, I should be able to carry it anyway. I'm going to carry it anyway. Well, no, if you do that, you'll be breaking the law. See, look at the difference. I mean, oh, my gosh.
Well, and look at the difference in California. Every 2 years, you have to renew your CCW. Arizona, Oregon, Nevada, Utah, all those others. I have my CCW for all those other states because I went through the process and got those, so I have it for most of the states in the union. And guess what? They're 3-5 years or longer of renewing your application, and all you do is renew it by refiling the paperwork online and submitting the $65 that they request, and then you get your card. And it's a credit. It looks like a credit card or a debit card. It may have your picture on it. It may not. It has all your pertinent information on it, and it's a credit card size, and it's plastic like a credit card, whereas California, they're so damn cheap, you get a piece of paper. So what the heck? And we pay a hell of a lot more in California than we do for the other states' CCWs.
Don't forget about your class that you have to take.
Yep.
And don't
you have to take a class to renew it, and you have to pay for that as well.
Well, those gun instructors are making some pretty good money.
They could be, yep. Probably are now.
Well, I mean, you know, what's next? Are you going to pay $65 for a credit card so that you can breathe?
I know.
50 states or yep. Take a step or tie your shoes or walk outside your house or buy a can of paint or, you know, I mean, what follows this? And the natural progression of tyranny is worse and worse tyranny. And all you have to do is look at China to see that that's true. I mean, this guy just had his own legislature appoint him president for life. They're murdering hundreds of millions of their own people. They have murdered hundreds of millions of their own people. And yet the administration of the state of California, they get on private jets and go over there and conduct treaties with these dudes. So, you know, do you think this is really going to get better?
No.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I keep reading Carl's flag
there's
here.
There's also some question when you say being necessary to the security of a free state.
Amen.
Now, is that in reference to a free state as one of the 50 states?
Nope.
Or is that in reference to the free state in which God created all men?
We are created
in God's image. God is the ultimate expression of freedom in the universe. Nobody tells God what he can or can't do. Now, William Blackstone and John Locke both advocated that when we form societies, we willingly give up certain freedom in order that society work. In other words, we all agree not to go 100 miles an hour through a school zone, et cetera, et cetera. However, some conditions of the free state of man's mind and man's freedom are not to be abdicated, and among those is the ability to defend oneself, family, community, state, and nation. That is an inalienable, absolute right necessary to the free state of the human condition, and yet in California, we have had that stripped from us by corrupt politicians. And any time a government turns its back on God, it is corrupt, period.
Yes, and remember the word state, when this is written, is synonymous to the word country.
Right.
So, you know, Mark, we have 3 minutes left, my friend. Bring us home on your final thoughts.
Well, I would say to the people out there, if you genuinely value your liberty and your ability to conduct your life according to your own principles and your own values and your and the things that you hold most dear in your life, let's have a little test here. Let's see how many people show up to this rally on Monday with an exposed holster and a pocket constitution in it. Let's just have a little bit of a test and see how many people are so used to wearing wool that when they look in the mirror and see a sheep, it doesn't even startle them and doesn't bother them a bit. And how many people who look in that mirror and see the wolf standing behind them and want to do something about it? And I say to you that, you know, if you say to yourself every morning, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death, you're on the right track.
Amen. Absolutely right.
Well, Mark, thank you, brother. You've been listening to Mark Baird, who is a great patriot, understands liberty, is a great teacher. Remember tomorrow night, 5:30, the amphitheater out by the Civic Auditorium near Turtle Bay, right next to the river there. We are having a rally. Find yourself a holster, grab a constitution, stick it in the holster, number one. Number two, stand. Stand for liberty. Stand for your rights. Go to the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday. Let your voice be heard. You've got 3 minutes. You should have more than 3 minutes. Also, tomorrow at 9:30, you can use your search engine to go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, podcast on YouTube, our podcast on YouTube. Also, you'll be able to find that on the archive. Go to Mountaintop Media. You can go to Facebook. All three of those places, you just go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, you will get us. We may even use a colorful metaphor or two. Anyway, with that, Wynn and I are believing that the state of Jefferson and understand it is the only way. state split.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable. Because time has really come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Amen.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A. The time has come for 51.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.